Welcome back to Open Gym here on Texas Sports Unfiltered, Hour 2. Myself, Patrick Davis, alongside Matt Gallatin of Texas Longhorns on SI. And of course, you, the third member of Open Gym. Text line's open, 512-222-9328. And of course, over there on the chat, Facebook, Twitch, X, and on YouTube. Yeah, I hear the dog. It will be the Jerry Jones Hour very soon. Very soon we'll get to it. I want to talk a little Texas baseball first, Matt. Or Texas basketball, sorry. Texas basketball first. As Texas basketball lost to UConn 71-63 over the weekend, their fourth loss of the season, but felt very, very different than some of their losses so far. First off, UConn is a really, really good basketball team. So this felt better than when you lost to Arizona State in a game you should have won, but just made mistakes and didn't really play good basketball, and you end up losing that game to Arizona State. You lost to Duke. That one was maybe a little bit closer to this, but you really got shut out in the second half in that one, and it wasn't a game late. And, of course, the Virginia game, you just were never even in for Texas. Texas never in that game. This one, they were in till the very end. They felt like they were in this game. And really, your turning point in the game is Dalen. They had the ball. Texas has the ball. They've got the chance to cut the lead as they feel they're doing pretty well late in this game. As I pull up the actual exact time that this happens, that there is 4 minutes and 10 seconds left in the game. They're down by five with Dalen Swain at the free throw line. So you're saying you have plenty of time left in this game. This is where you can really try and make that run. Dalen Swain misses, once again, both free throws in a clutch situation. And Texas responds by coming down and playing really good defense. This is a big piece for Texas. They held UConn to 71 points. They played defense this time, this whole game. They play really good defense. They get the ball forced out. Solo ball has to go back to near midcourt on the sideline and jack up a desperation three with the shot clock expiring. And he hits it. And it just let all the air out of Texas' bench, let all the air out of the players on the floor. They come back down. They miss a layup on a quick attack by Simeon Wilcher. Ball gets pushed back up another three. And Texas has to call timeout because it just goes from, all right, you're 5 points down to now 11 points down in the matter of 40 seconds. It all just went downhill really fast. And really, the time between the first and second three-pointer for UConn was 16 seconds. So you were playing good defense. So within 20 seconds, you had played really good defense and almost got the ball back to see if you can go down. And even though, you know, Swain missed those free throws, you still feel good about getting the ball back and getting another shot. And all of a sudden now, it's 11 points. It's pretty insurmountable. They come back, miss a shot, but Tremont Mark gets a three-pointer, pulls it back into a little bit more. They fight back in this game, but at that point, they're just a little too far away for a really good UConn team, Matt. But we did see this team's defense, team defense, pick up a ton. Part of that is the referees let them play a lot more. Shockingly, if you don't call every foul, your guys are not in foul trouble, and their defense is better. So both sides of the ball. Now, that meant this was probably Modest's worst offensive game so far because he's been just living at the free throw line. He shoots 8 free throws in this game, but only 9 points for Modest Vojkatidis. You really need a little bit more out of him in that game. Cam Heidi plays 18 minutes, shoots 1-3, misses it. Just not effective in a game where he needed to be effective. Dalen Swain, only 9 points. But you saw Jordan Pope and Tremont Mark hit some shots, take some hard shots, play a little bit harder in that situation. Only 8 guys playing the game total. Kendall Weaver only gets 18 minutes in this game as well. We did see Simeon Wilcher play pretty well. We did see him get 2 steals in the game. You felt like he was playing pretty well defensively, that Wilcher maybe could step in that role. But Jordan Pope was really one of the only people that was doing anything offensively. And it just feels like you just have guys that can play defense or guys that can play offense, and the whole team cannot play either way. You really don't have a lot of guys who are either doing things both sides of the court. Dalen Swain needs to be one of those guys. and he just was not able to step up in that game. Modest Foyketitis not able to step up in that game. And if you have a couple more players play a little bit better in there, play a little tougher, I think Texas could have really walked away with a win. But that all being said, Matt, you end with an 8-point loss to a really good UConn team that you were in, and they hit a crazy 3-pointer that if that doesn't go, it changes that game dramatically. Who knows what happens? So I think you can walk away with that and say, since the Virginia game, this team does have a shot to not be the worst team in the SEC. You say, okay, maybe they can win some of these games. Maybe they are going to show up sometimes. Now you're looking for consistency when we start SEC play in January.
Yeah, I was happy to see Simeon Welcher be a major factor in this game. I've been kind of waiting for him to have a good one. A little disappointed with Cam Heidi, a little disappointed with Lucina Traore, like not being able to get really involved offensively. Happy to see Jordan Pope play a solid game against a really good team. You know, 15 points, 5 of 10 from the field. That was real solid. The thing that still gives me pause about this team, and obviously it's, you know, you progress as a team, and what happened earlier in the season doesn't necessarily dictate what's going to happen for the rest of the season, but they've played 5 Power 4 teams now, or Power Conference teams now, Duke, Arizona State, NC State, Virginia, and UConn, and they're 1-4. So that doesn't give me a lot of hope in SEC play, but I am very encouraged by what I saw against UConn. I thought they were going to lose that game by 25-30 points.
I did too.
So I think one thing that played a little bit of a role, at least in my opinion, it was a lot smaller of a rotation. There was only 8 guys that played. Mm-hmm. So maybe that's the answer going forward, is to tighten things up a little bit and, you know, keep these rotations a little bit tighter. I don't know, but Cam Heidi has to be a factor in games like this. One shot is just, you know, 0-for-1. It's like he didn't have any impact on the game whatsoever, in my opinion. So
no, and he can't play defense well enough on the other side is the problem. Is he's, you know, mm-hmm. he's an energy guy, but he's not necessarily a lockdown, go in there and bump with a guy, play defense. So when you're trying to play him at that power forward position, he just can't play defense at it. And so if he's not taking the shots, because he is a good 3-point shooter, but he just doesn't take the shots. Like, you have to be confident enough to go in there, and it doesn't feel like he has that confidence. He's always looking. He'd rather go to the bucket and get a big dunk, but they're just lining up on him. And by the time he realizes that the 3 was the right shot, it's gone. And a guy's right on you. So he's got to figure out what he wants to do offensively, because it feels like, again, in practice, he's playing good. And then he gets in these games and he's just not able to get it done. And he's had a couple games where he's gotten it going, but if he can't show up in SEC play, he's going to find himself in that diminished rotation. They want him to spread the floor because Traore and Nick Cody, who's not playing in this game, but when Nick Cody's healthy again, they just don't have jumpers. So they can't spread the floor and let Modest work inside. You're letting too many guys come down and bounce off and go inside and try and stop Modest Foyketitis, which has been your half-court offense for a lot of this season, because no one else is really getting it going. You had 7 assists in the game. Not a great number. You'd like to be able to hit some better passes. So, it you know, and for Air the Dog, where it says it feels stagnant, it does. It feels like we probably should have let some of these players walk and tried to just go in the transfer portal and get somebody new. And try and find some people that fit what Sean Miller wanted to do a little bit better. I don't know if that was – I don't know why we kept as many players as we did. I'll say that. I think Jamal Mark's a heck of a player. I think Kendall Weaver's a heck of a player. Jordan Pope can play basketball sometimes. But like, they just don't seem to fit in what he wants to do. And you get Cam Heidi, and he's not fitting in what Sean Miller wants to do. And so it just doesn't feel like this roster was constructed in the way of what you needed. Maybe that's budget. Maybe that's players available. Maybe that's players not wanting to come to Texas. I can't tell you. There's lots of reasons why it ends up that way. But if Texas wants to have any shot at competing in the next 2 or 3 years with Sean Miller, you're going to have to figure out a way to get some of these players that are going to be difference makers in Sean Miller's offense. Because if they're not, if you can't find guys who can play 2 ways, and if everybody has these really big flaws in their game, then we're going to get worse, not better, in the NIL era, and we will not be a relevant team. Like a top, we won't be a tournament team most of the years because, like, if we're not willing to spend with some of these tournament teams and SEC teams, it just, there's very little it can do because you've got a bunch of players who are playing one-way basketball for most of the game. And you can't, like, I don't know how you win when Jordan Pope can't play defense and when Cam Heidi can't play defense and they're supposed to bring you offense. And then Tramon Mark can play defense, but he's not always giving you offense. He played offense in this game. It's one of the reasons you're in it. Dalen Swain wasn't able to get his offense going in this one. So you just have to be able to figure out these guys to play. If you're going to shorten up your roster and have these guys play more minutes and run and do all of that, they got to be able to score and play defense. They played defense in this game. Hats off to them. They played defense. They held UConn to 71 points. So it was good on one end, but it's still, you're just going to have to keep improving. That hopefully this is a sign that they're improving as we go on, because it's going to be a really long season if they don't. And I don't want people to lose all confidence that this is something to go, because you also look at the recruits that Texas is getting. I think they're getting really good players. None of those players next season, I think, are going to be, oh my God, now Texas is a competitor. So now we have to go to the transfer portal. You're also losing a ton of players. You hope to keep Modest Voigtitis and get him better over a year. But and I know we shouldn't already be looking at the next year when it's, you know, we haven't even had SEC play. But this just doesn't feel like the team yet that we're going to get excited about.
No, it doesn't. But it does. It gives you a little bit of hope in this sense. If this team does play a complete game on both ends of the floor, which they haven't really done yet this year, in one of their five top games or whatever, but if they can manage to put a good game together on both ends of the floor and play a complete game, they can hang with anybody.
Yeah.
So that gives you a lot of hope.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Maybe they can figure that out by SEC play, because it's coming up sooner than people realize.
And Chan says, Chip says Pope isn't looking to pass the ball. His point, Cam didn't get the ball. I think Pope is in there, but there's a reason Pope's playing. He runs that offense better. And I know Chip's a big Cam Heidi guy. Cam Heidi has not been a good player in Texas so far. I hope he figures it out, because everything I've talked to Purdue people about this, and they are saying really good things about him, but there's a reason why he was on the bench, which is he's very indecisive. And he's not necessarily getting to where he needs to get into Pope's vision and go find it. I agree Pope needs to be better too. I don't want to just put it on one person. But, you know, you're running an offense to try and get the ball to certain places. And, like, the real problem is your offense right now is basically Swain, Mark, and Pope handing the ball off to each other on short passes, looking for something to happen, and then they ditch the ball into Modest Voigtitis. So there's not a ton of actually, like, there's more movement, so people are watching it, like, and they're like, oh, they're moving better than they were moving, but there's not the off-ball movement that needs to be there better. You got to get tries. You got to try and set screens off-ball. You got to try and do this, and it just doesn't feel like that's really figured out yet with this offense. I think it'll get better. But yeah, no one's passing, because it, you know, again, on a good team, it can't just be Pope who's trying to hit guys, because the defense will be set and he can't find them. So I'd like him to try and find guys more. I'd like him to be able to drive and distribute, but they just haven't, you know, that's not really Pope's game. He's a scorer. He's a shooting guard. And so he isn't a drive and distribute guy, and neither is Tramon Mark and neither is Dalen Swain. And Cam Heidi needs two of those guys on the roster. So it just, again, not really a fit. It's a fit with the system, but not with the players in the system. And that's why this team is frustrating to watch at times, because there's just so many conflicting things happening at the same time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. And yeah, hair of the dog, I get it. Ifs, ands, and buts don't win games. It's just, it does give you hope that you can compete against a team that's a national championship contender.
Your hope is at the end of the season that this team does put together some of more of those games. Because even this, like, again, I'm not banking on us being a tournament team or having any real luck in the tournament this year. So that's not necessarily – I just want to see the team look like a decent team by the end of the year. I want to see some of the younger guys play better by the end of the season so we have a chance to go, okay, these are the guys we need to keep. This is what we need to figure out to move forward. It's more for that already. I know it's December. We shouldn't be this depressed about our team. But it just doesn't feel like it doesn't feel like the team works together, and it doesn't feel like the team and the system work together. And as much as Simeon Wilcher is playing better, he still does make a lot of mistakes. And so Wilcher's kind of, you know, he's a guy that will get into a doghouse sometimes. He had 2 turnovers in the game. Dalen Swain, 5 turnovers in the game. Just didn't have a good game. A lot of those guys just didn't have good games, and Texas was still hanging in it because of their defense. But if their offense played better, again, ifs, ands, and buts, then we would be there. All right, Matt, let's talk a little NFL action now. And we'll start off with the Cardinals and the Texans before we get to the Vikings and the Cowboys. But the Cardinals and the Texans played their matchup, and the Texans did what they had to do with a 20-point win. We're able to score early. We're able to score often. A lot of field goals in this game for the Texans. Nice to have a field goal kicker hit your field goals for Kyahmi Fairbairn. But it starts to feel a little bit more like this Texans offense is starting to figure out a few things. We saw the rookie Juwar Jordan playing his first game. I know he was drafted a year ago, but he's been on the practice squad. He had 15 carries for 101 yards. He had a 50-yard run in there, which helps. But, you know, he had 15 carries for 101 yards. He played really well out of that backfield. He's not quite the blocker that you would be with Woody Marks, but Woody Marks averaged 4.3 yards per carry as well in that game before he had some injuries with the knee problem, and they held him out because Jordan was running the ball well enough. We did see them at a point hand the ball to Jordan, get the ball down to the 1-yard line, and then try and run a trick play that didn't work and get knock it back to like the 10-yard line. And you're like, just keep handing the ball. How hard is this? You're running up the middle for like 4 or 5 yards a carry. And then you just don't do that when you get to the goal line. I don't get why they stopped doing it. It was still working over and over again. It was frustrating at that point. We knew the defense was going to be there. They got a little bit lapsed in the start of the second half. It felt like the defense maybe slowed down a little bit, and Arizona was able to, you know, get some points on them. But overall, once again, a good game for the Texans. Mario Edwards, the defensive tackle, though, does suffer a burst pec. Sounds painful. He'll be out for the season now, so they're going to have to replace that. But overall, again, 22 for 29 for 260 and 3 touchdowns for C.J. Stroud. He only takes 1 sack in the game. He is starting to learn more of not trying to be the hero. And we saw him at points get out and throw the ball away, get out and take a check down. He saw the blitzes coming when Indy and when Arizona was bringing different blitzes. It was just getting the ball out a little bit quicker. So it's good to see that. I know this isn't a good Arizona team, but you want to be able to see your team beat those, because we saw some other teams that maybe weren't playing well against bad teams. So,
yeah. It's amazing what happens when you can protect C.J. Stroud and allow him to be a little bit comfortable, right?
Yeah.
This is probably the second or third best game he's played all year. You probably look at the Baltimore game, and the 49ers game is the other two that really stick out. This is one of his best games. And, you know, when your quarterback can operate like that and you're able to run the football effectively, it's amazing how much more, you know, dynamic your offense can be. So I get it's the Cardinals, but you take it if you're the Texans after some of the offensive showings that you've had so far this year.
You still got to win the games you got to win.
Yeah. So I feel pretty good about them right now for sure.
Unfortunately, we did see the Jags have no problem with the Jets win 48-20. If you had either Trevor Lawrence or Etienne on your team, they helped you win in fantasy football for sure. But they are keeping the division lead now with 10-4. The Colts did lose a game to the Seahawks in a crazy moment of, you know, going back and forth in that at the end of the game with the field goal attempts, and the Seahawks able to get that last second field goal, move down the field just enough to be able to get that last second field goal to go ahead and knock off the Colts and Phillip Rivers' debut, re-debut. He is now 5 more years away from being in the Pro Football Hall of Fame if he's ever getting in. Didn't have a bad game. Wasn't the worst, you know, for a guy who popped back from being out of the game for so long to go 18 for 27 for 120 with a touchdown and interception. Not terrible. I think other people would have done worse. We do know Riley Leonard should be healthy next week. And then we saw the report today that Anthony Richardson is healthy and cleared by doctors, Matt. Does this matter at all, or is it Phillip Rivers' team to try and go finish out the season? They're still in it. They're not dead because they still play. I believe they play the Jags twice, at least when they play us in the Jags again. So they have some games against AFC South teams. They play the 49ers, Jags, and Texans. So if they can stay alive, then they have a chance to at least beat one of us and get some more wins and knock us down. What do you think about the quarterback position for the Colts, Matt?
I don't really like Phillip Rivers, so I don't really think it's that cool. But good for him. They still lost. Maybe he'll get better as the year goes on. I don't anticipate him making that much of a difference. Do you want to hear the updated AFC playoff picture?
Yeah, sure.
As of right now, the Denver Broncos have a 100% chance to make the playoffs. The Bills and the Patriots are both at 99%. The Jaguars at 98%. The Texans, 95% chance to make the playoffs now.
I like that.
You'd love to see it.
I'd still like to win the division, but, you know, whatever we do, we get in the playoffs, you get in the playoffs, you get a chance to go win some games. The Broncos did beat the Packers. In that game, we saw Micah Parsons go down with a torn ACL, which you hate to see. For Micah Parsons, no fun there for him. We saw Patrick Mahomes going to be out for a while now as well with the torn ACL. So both those guys going down with major injuries is just not stuff you want to see at this late in the season. You don't want to see guys go down. Did you get to see any of the Panthers Saints finish?
I did not.
That the Saints, the Panthers, who get the gift of the Bucs being terrible right now and just keep losing these games and lost to the Falcons on Thursday Night Football. There was a tie game. Get kicking the ball back to the Saints. Saints start coming down. Tyler Shuck starts leading the way. All they need, there's like 10 seconds left in the game or so. So Shuck decides, all right, I'm going to run a quarterback sneak. We're going to call a quarterback draw for Shuck. Come up the middle, slide, get us like five, six more yards on, because no one's going to be there. So they think you're throwing the football to the outside because we don't have another timeout, but run, immediately hand the ball to the ref. We'll spike it. We'll kick a field goal. We can win the game, right? Get us a couple more yards closer. He goes to do that. He slides. And the Panthers hit him. 15 more yards. And a stop clock. So it ends up where the Saints are able to kick a field goal to win the game. And be 4-10, which I'm sure the Saints ownership is like, stop winning. Kellen Moore, come on, man. How do you not know the drill? But the Panthers now 7-7. Don't get a lead on the Bucs, who are also 7-7. And when you're playing the Saints, they both played the lower end of that division and they both lost. That division is garbage.
Yeah, nobody deserves to win this division.
No.
This is like the Big 12. This is like the ACC. None of them deserve to make it, so don't let any of them in.
Don't let any of them in. Not a one of them.
Not one.
Speaking of not getting in, the Cowboys lost to the Vikings 34-26. This is the defense, once again, just coming back to bite you. Offensively, some issues as well. The Javonte Williams injury in the first half did not help, that he was out for a little bit. But Dak Prescott, 23 of 38 for 294, but cannot throw a touchdown pass in the game. Just doesn't necessarily work the way it wants. Still some more questions for George Pickens, 3 receptions for 33 yards. It feels like he's starting to give up on more and more plays. And I don't know why. Like, I don't know why after last week, when I understand last week, you get thrown into the number one position, you don't like being double covered, you feel the ball's not coming your way, so you just, you're kind of pulling up on routes. Once you watch that film back, Matt, once you watch back the film of, oh man, I could have had that one. Oh man, I didn't realize I could have, like, I could have gotten open on that one. Once you realize that, and either they're trying to force the ball your way, how do you come out the next week and do it again in single coverage?
This was always the risk that you were going to take with George Pickens.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't know why it, I don't know why anybody would be surprised by it. You know who's not surprised that the Cowboys lost to the terrible Vikings? This guy. They now have a less than 1% chance to make the playoffs, by the way.
Yeah.
Surely they're going to finish 8-8-1, like I predicted, which means they're going to beat the, they're going to lose to the Chargers this next game, and then they're going to win their next two games against the Commanders and the Giants because they're just awful.
Yeah, Jaden Daniels has now been shut down for the year as well, so they announced that today.
And I don't think Jerry Jones was right about anything, hair of the dog. He made all these trades to make their defense better, and they just gave up 34 points to J.J. Dog Doo-Doo McCarthy.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's the thing is, I think, you know, there was positives out of what Jerry Jones did this year, but it also didn't really fix anything. Because I think George Pickens fixed some things. I think even though he's causing problems and everything else, I think making a trade for another wide receiver instead of going into another season without a secondary wide receiver, that was a good move. I like bringing in Quinnen Williams, but once you brought in Quinnen Williams, it's like, well, you just traded Micah for Quinnen.
Basically.
And that's fine, but now you're going to have to pay somebody else. Now you have a bunch of defensive linemen. You have a bunch of defensive tackles because you just paid Odigizua. You just traded for Kenny Clark. So you ended up with Kenny Clark and Quinnen Williams when you, after a season, you just paid Odigizua. So it didn't really make sense what they were doing. And we see the results are, this is a team that should be playing to be in an NFC championship game. That is what Jerry Jones has set the expectations to. And everyone's like, oh, maybe they can make the playoffs. And it's how he tricks you into it. But he is, and, you know, the Trayvon Diggs story now, Matt, that Trayvon Diggs is saying that he is healthy and ready to play. And Jerry Jones is saying he is not healthy enough to play. I don't know why you're asking me that question. He's not healthy enough to play. We go, well, they're asking you because the guy himself said he is. So someone's got to tell us who, what's happening. And also, nobody believes you, Jerry. We know you will lie to our faces. So it does feel they're in a weird place with three games to go now. If you are running this team, Matt, and you're coming out, what do you do for the Cowboys for the rest of the season? You're out. You're done now. I know you're the 0.5% chance or whatever you have to make the playoffs. You're done because the Eagles have to lose all three of their next games. So you'll know before you play next if you're done or not. So the Eagles win on Saturday. It's over, right? But for this Cowboys team with three games left to go, is there a part of you that doesn't want to be 500? That wants to say, screw it, let's try and at least give ourselves a little bit better of a draft pick because we still need to get some more guys on this team. So let's maybe, you know, be a little okay with playing some other players, not necessarily going full force. If you're the Cowboys, where you stand now after two games of George Pickens kind of not being fully there after being the guy for, like, his good track record was much more than his long, his bad track record. But his bad track record is the last two games, so it's somewhat surprising and somewhat not in a good place. Do you come out and say, do you still think you re-sign George Pickens? Or do you let him walk? Say that draft pick's gone and that was George Pickens. He was good for us for a year. Is what do you do, Matt, if you're the Cowboys, now that your season is basically over again and you didn't necessarily have the hopes before the season. Maybe internally it did, but outside the noise was that it probably wasn't going to be a great season. What do you go and try and look at for these last 3 weeks and in the offseason?
I mean, here's the thing about the draft pick. As it stands right now, Dallas has the number 14 pick in the first round.
Yeah.
And the number 23 pick in the first round because of the Green Bay pick. If you lose out, you probably still aren't a top 10 pick. You're very borderline because Kansas City is sitting at 11 at 6-8. Minnesota's number 12 at 6-8. Atlanta's 5-9. They're at number 10. Cincinnati's at number 9 at 4-10. Washington's at 4-10. You're not getting ahead of the majority of those teams, regardless.
Yeah.
Especially since you play Washington if they beat you. So you're probably still going to be in the 11 to 14 range.
What happens if you win out?
If you win out, like Detroit is number 17 at 8-6. I feel like they're going to win a couple more games. Carolina is probably going to win again. Baltimore is probably going to win again. I don't know if Indy will win again. They're at 18. And then there's all the playoff teams right now, so you can't really count those into the equation as of yet. I don't know. Like, I feel like you should re-sign George Pickens. I wouldn't give him big money, but I'd give him enough where he would stick around potentially. I feel like you have to make another trade at some point this offseason for somebody to get more draft capital. Trevon Diggs for like would anybody give you like a fifth round pick for him? Maybe. I don't know. You kind of have a log jam at defensive tackle. So can you trade Kenny Clark again after trading for him this season? I don't know. Maybe you trade Odighizuwa and try and get some draft capital there, because you need to find some way to help your secondary. You got to fix your horrible linebacker play, because Logan Wilson has done nothing to improve that linebacker room. Kenneth Murray is an absolute train wreck right now. I don't know if anybody saw that play where he went completely the wrong direction on the goal line.
Always bad. He runs around the edge and it's a run up the middle.
Yeah. I would pay George Pickens. I would hope that Jeremiah Love falls to me at like 13 or 14. I'd use the other pick for a defensive back and then see what happens.
Hope that Demo being there for a full season maybe helps you out a little bit more if he can stay healthy.
Yeah.
Dude, Demo had that one tackle, though, on Hockenson. It was a really good tackle on Hockenson where it was like for a first down there at the end of the game, and he just completely stops him and pulls him backwards to not get the touchdown in that play. Like, I think that was big.
You have to make sweeping changes on the defense in one way or the other.
Yeah. It feels like Eberflus is going to be gone too. So you're going to have to go another defensive coordinator, which is what would be your fourth in 4 years.
Maybe. Yeah.
Quinn, Zimmer, Eberflus, and then whoever, right? Does that sound right?
Yeah. That's bad.
Yeah, no, I mean, because you're building no consistency. You're changing schemes. You're changing whatever you do. I know that, they were happy running the five down linemen because it's a different technique of, all right, we have all these great defensive linemen. The problem is if teams can pass on you and you can't generate the pass rush that you want with five defensive linemen, then they can just eat you up in the zone coverage. And that's kind of – teams are just kind of doing that more and more.
You have to have elite linebacker play too. And
yes.
They've just had dog water linebacker play.
Because it's like you're stopping the run, but you let J.J. McCarthy throw for 250. J.J. McCarthy should not be throwing for 250 on you.
No. J.J. McCarthy shouldn't be throwing for 250 on anybody.
So, I mean, that's where the question is like, I know it's new into it and it depends on where you come out of it and what picks, you end up actually having. It doesn't seem like they're going to change too much now, but this is for Dallas I know Jerry Jones ain't going to say it because Jerry Jones is going to say, well, I think all these, you know, we've seen crazy things happen here. Crazy things happen for the Dallas Cowboys. So he'll come out and give whatever great speech of why they, you know, they're still just in as much as they were into it by week one. Be just as good before they, you know, get knocked out by the Eagles game next weekend. But yeah, I don't know what you look at because it feels like you're still so many pieces away. And Javonte Williams has been a good pickup. But yeah, if you could pair him with a rookie running back next year that could actually play, the fact that, you know, we look at some other teams and Woody Marks is playing really well for the Texans, and you go like, oh, you could have had him.
Mm-hmm.
Could have had him. And then, you know, looking across just fully defensively, you know, with Deron Bland and Trayvon Diggs and that secondary, is it a coaching thing or is it just you just don't have any of those players? Cause, you know, at one point they were better players. Is it the atmosphere? Is it like, I think Brian Schottenheimer's made growth on the offense, but I don't know about defensively if that would be the case. So it feels like the offense maybe is not what you have to focus on. If you keep George Pickens, you know, after this season, is Javonte Williams signed a multi-year deal?
I wouldn't sign him to a multi-year deal.
Well, no, but did he when he came in? Was it a one-year deal?
Oh, no, it's a one-year deal.
Yeah, I mean, I would try and – I would still keep him just solely in the fact of it's better than anything else you've had recently.
Yeah. Here's an issue I have with the defense, by the way.
Yeah.
You let J.J. McCarthy throw for 250.
Yeah.
Against teams with pulses his senior year of college. Nebraska, he threw for 156. Minnesota, he threw for 219. Penn State, he threw for 60. Ohio State, he threw for 148. Iowa, he threw for 147. Alabama, 221. Washington, 140. He never played well against good defenses in college.
No.
He hasn't played well against good defenses in the NFL. He's like, how do you let that guy absolutely piece you up?
Because that's what they've done all season, though.
Yeah, and Trent Dilfer got to the Super Bowl, and so did Rex Grossman. That doesn't mean they're good quarterbacks.
No, I'm with it. All right, let's take our second break real quick, Matt. We'll come back. We'll talk about Monday Night Football. Big matchup tonight. Quinn Ewers sitting on the bench during this matchup. We'll get into that here in just a little bit. Also want to, you know, I'm going to talk a little NBA for you, Matt, just a little bit. We'll get a little better. We'll get to our meathead of the day as well as we're continuing down on a Monday afternoon edition of Open Gym here on Texas Sports Unfiltered.
Hi, I'm Hayden Covert. Welcome to Covert Buick GMC of Bee Cave, your home in the Hill Country for new and pre-owned Buick and GMC vehicles. With beautiful inventory arriving daily, including the GMC Yukon, Sierra 1500, and Buick Enclave, you'll be certain to find the perfect vehicle at an incredible deal. Our service department is also open for all your vehicle maintenance needs. Visit us today for a test drive. Covert, born and raised in Austin. We are professional grade.
Altstadt Beer, the best beer that you can find all throughout the great state of Texas. Y'all know I've been a fan of Altstadt for years now, and if you try it, I think you will be too. If you've already tried it, you know exactly what I am talking about. Altstadt is brewed locally in Fredericksburg, but available all over the state of Texas. So if you're tuned in Austin, San Antonio, Dallas, Houston, it does not matter. You can find Altstadt at a local grocery store or liquor store. They've got a bunch of different brews. Something for every beer drinker out there. The Lager, the Kolsch, those are their two flagship beers, both award winners. They are fantastic. The Altstadt Light sacrifices on calories but does not sacrifice on the taste. They've got a great pills, tons of great seasonals as well. I'm telling you, one sip and you won't go back to the other beers you've been drinking in the past. It is the official beer of BK. It should be the official beer of you as well. It's Altstadt Beer. No impurities, no regrets.
Hey, y'all. I'm Camille McKay.
And I'm Tom McKay, owner of Audiovisual Consultations.
The old man and I are here to give you your summer weather forecast. It's hot.
That's right, kid.
Which means it's time for pool parties, grilling burgers, and taking a beach vacation, right?
Well, I don't know about a vacation, but Audiovisual brings more heat than any tropical destination.
It was worth a shot. I'll settle for some outdoor speakers.
You know, Audiovisual can do a lot more than that. We provide outdoor video screens, audio systems, landscape lighting, even solar shades for your patio to keep the Texas heat at bay.
Well, I'm sold. Let's wrap this up. I'm ready to lounge on a floaty and listen to some smooth jazz.
Well, that sounds wonderful, but some smooth reggae is the way to go this summer.
Good thing we can listen to both with the Sonos sound system. I call dibs on the floaty, though. Peace out.
Kid, wait a second. Give us a call at 512-255-8678 or visit us at avconsultations.com. That's 512-255-8678.
Back here on Open Gym on Texas Sports Unfiltered, wrapping up here on a Monday afternoon. Appreciate you guys hanging out with us here on this Monday. A whole bunch of good stuff coming up this week as we get closer to the college football playoffs. A little bit more transfer portal news all week long, I'm sure. Hopefully nothing as dire or drastic as we got today. It was not what we wanted to see. But yeah, we'll continue on that, getting us closer to the Citrus Bowl as well. But Matt, did you see the Spurs over the weekend on Saturday? NBA Cup action. The Spurs knock off Oklahoma City, only the Oklahoma City's second loss of the season, with a 111-109 win in the NBA Cup semifinals. They will now play tomorrow night against the New York Knicks for the NBA Cup. Victor Wembanyama did come back for this game. He did not start, but he did play 21 minutes, had 22 points, and of course had to add in, you know, two more blocks and the rebounds and assists and all of that good stuff that he brings, plus 21. On his plus minus for Victor Wembanyama when he's on the court, the difference he makes. But we saw a Spurs team that is really stepping up, Matt, and it feels fun that this is a team that has lost a lot recently and been in the bottom edge of basketball for the last several years. And someone that really was like, this is the year we're going to try and step up and take that step forward. And so as much as the NBA Cup is not really the biggest deal in the world, it does feel like something nice for a Spurs team to help show them how to win some big games against good opponents and get that win. It was really good to see and see how happy you're making some of these young players that they're being able to see the success early in their career.
That's a big win. you kept the Thunder from going 81-1, which I really appreciate. Oklahoma City has lost two games now this year by an average of 2 points.
Yes.
That's crazy.
They're really good.
This feels like the NBA's worst nightmare right now. The number one team in the East is the Detroit Pistons, and the number one team in the West is the Oklahoma City Thunder.
Yeah. They're not thrilled with these big market teams. Now, Lakers are playing well. Lakers are entertaining, so I think they're okay with that one. But
yeah, but after who did Oklahoma City play in the finals last year?
Indiana.
So if they play Detroit this year in the finals, the NBA is going to make drastic changes to something. You can almost feel it.
We're good. We're changing that CBA up again. You know how we tried to make it a little bit more even with the aprons so that people couldn't just have these ridiculous.
No more salary cap.
Yeah, they're gonna be like, no, sorry, we're going back to where these teams can just have massive dynasties on the coast when they're willing to pay the taxes, and we're gonna let Steve Ballmer just throw his money down the toilet. They canceled a practice the other day. The Clippers did. Clippers canceled a practice because they were like, oh, some of the players weren't available. Like, oh, some of them. I wonder which two it could be that were unavailable. I'm gonna go out on a limb here and go, it's Kawhi Leonard and James Harden that weren't available for you. You are the least disciplined team on the planet. Craziness.
I'm happy for the Spurs, though. That's a big win.
It is. It's a very big win. They play the next game on Tuesday. They have not said whether they will be where Wimby will be starting. He clearly can play again, though, coming back. He wants to start, but they're kind of trying to limit his minutes. So Luke Kornet is still getting that start. Luke Kornet's been playing pretty good defense as well and hanging in there for you. He's definitely not the offensive threat that Victor Wembanyama is. He was 1 for 3 for 2 points. So maybe not the offensive threat of a Victor Wembanyama.
Maybe not.
But yeah, you can tell Wimby wants to play. He wants to get in there. But they're definitely
everybody
going to.
Everybody believed in the Oklahoma City Thunder last year, Sooner Cowboys. What do you mean?
Yeah, I think everybody believed in them, and especially once you get to the end. But, you know, we thought Oklahoma City was really good. Look, you can get mad all you want. Oklahoma, Sooner Cowboys, who is your best running back? Who is the quarterback for your team? And are either one of them good football players right now? Because you know the answer to both of those are no and no. There's no good running backs, and Mateer is not a good quarterback. I get your defense is good, but your offense is garbage.
Yeah, everybody wanted Indiana to win because Oklahoma City is so boring. But yeah, they're clearly the best team in the NBA. Everybody knew
apparently,
that.
Apparently, Sooner Cowboys Thunder fans come on our show and then just try and make fun of us, even though we beat y'all this year. So that's why we wanted Indiana to win. We don't know anybody from Indiana. We wanted them. And plus, Tyrese Halliburton, that was a fun team to watch. Oklahoma City's mm-hmm. so boring to watch. They're so good. They're just not fun to watch. Mm-hmm. They're too good. So it's not really fun. It's just a team that's better than everybody. But they're not, like, just running down the court and making great plays. Yeah. yeah, it is a lot of fun to watch that. But yeah, it was really good to see the Spurs come back with a win at the NBA Cup action. So that game is on Tuesday night now. If you want to see it tomorrow night, you'll be able to see Spurs and Knicks at 7:30 on Prime Video. That we'll finally get to it. New York is a 2.5-point favorite in this game right now, though. But OKC was a favorite, and the Spurs got the win. So see if the Spurs can pull off something, try and get a win. I saw Bill Schoening post something today that that he was laughing at, that after he left the Longhorns, the baseball team for Texas won the national championship in 2002. When Bill Schoening went to go to work for the Spurs, Bill Schoening has left the Spurs as the radio announcer now. And he's like, yeah, now they can be good again. Apparently I'm the curse here. Matt, let's get to our meathead of the day today. No shocker who our meathead of the day is today, Matt. We all know what it was because somebody didn't win the Heisman Trophy, which is not hugely surprising. He had a really good season, but a lot of the times the Heisman Trophy goes to the person who wins the most games. It's kind of like the reason why there's just quarterbacks. There's weird abstract rules to Heisman voting. And they want your team to be one of the best teams in the country. And they want you to be the quarterback on the best team in the country. And who that would be Fernando Mendoza right now,
mm-hmm.
who is undefeated. And then, you know, I can say there's arguments for everybody else, but he's not a guy who played for a team that did not make the playoffs. Mm-hmm. And you know, maybe that's why you're done. You didn't win. And it's pretty much that simple. But here is that Vanderbilt quarterback after the Heisman ceremony, handling New York City in a loss with class, with dignity and passion. Oh yeah, there he is. There's Diego Pavia dancing around, pointing at a sign that may or may not, Matt, say F Indiana.
Yeah. Nobody likes Diego Pavia that has respect for college football. He and his family are blights on the game. And here's the deal. Like, anybody that was saying Diego Pavia should win the Heisman doesn't understand how the Heisman works. I get it's supposed to go to the most outstanding player in college football or whatever the actual, you know, description of the trophy is. But you're right. There are abstract rules to winning this award now. It didn't always used to be that way. You either had to do something incredible, like set some kind of all-time record, or be one of the best players in the country, or both. Like, Ricky Williams won it because he broke the all-time rushing records and had arguably the greatest season that a running back has ever had in college football history. But now, if You don't make the playoff, you're not going to win it. Unless with Travis Hunter, he did something unbelievably different than anybody else had ever done in college football history. But the Heisman Trophy was down to two players, and it was decided in the Big Ten Championship game. Whoever won that game was going to win the Heisman Trophy. Diego Pavia never had a chance once they didn't make the playoff. Never had a chance.
Yeah.
And that's just the fact of the matter. And he's responding to it like I knew he would respond to it. Had Johnny Manziel not won the Heisman Trophy, that's exactly what he would have done.
Yeah. No, I mean, he also posted on Instagram, you know, F them voters for not voting. And then he did apologize afterwards when I think most likely Clark Lee called him and said, hey, man, do you want to play in the NFL? Do you want to have any future after this? Stop doing what you're doing. Because every future employer is watching this. And they're all going, oh, I don't want somebody who's going to give me a PR nightmare. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't mind somebody who is outspoken or who is going to be kind of quirky and go out and have some fun. But if you are always going to be like too far on all these lines where traditionalist football fans are not going to be a fan of you, you can't go too far all the time. So this does feel like just another one of, just Pavia, like, you know, we look back at like Jameis Winston as somebody who made some mistakes and got really, really roasted over the coals for those and in his pre-draft and everything else. But he was a bigger quarterback, which, by the way, Pavia looked tiny at the Heisman ceremony.
He was 5'8".
Which you're like, okay, there's not 5'8 quarterbacks in the NFL. They just aren't. So I don't know what he's going to end up doing next year. I could imagine he is going to be somebody that tries to go to the NFL. They basically tell him he can be on a practice squad. And then he's going to say, screw that, and go to the XFL or go, you know, whatever the other brand is, or the CFL, and pretend that he can go make that a big thing. The thing that I think is the funniest is that Vanderbilt for so long was not relevant in college football because they were nerds. And the one person they finally get to represent them is Diego Pavia.
And he's the biggest try hard in college football history. You would think that the quarterbacks who saw what happened to Shedeur Sanders last year would take that as a lesson and be like, well, maybe if I at least act professional.
Yeah.
When the cameras are rolling and I act humble, I will have a better opportunity for somebody to take a chance on me. I mean, Dylan Gabriel's like 5'8". He's in the NFL. I mean, he's listed at 6 foot, but there's no way he is. If you act like Dylan Gabriel and you approach the game like Dylan Gabriel, you're going to have an opportunity to make it.
That's true.
But if you do it like Diego Pavia, you're going to get left out in the cold, and that's exactly what's going to happen.
You can have a personality. You can do all this stuff. You can still be out even partying, being, you know, doing stuff that I personally would think would be a bad look, and no one's really going to bat an eye. But you can't do it and then also be like, and hate, I hate everybody, and you're all assholes, and I'm the victim. That's not going to go over as well, because you're just not quite good enough and talented enough to get over that hump to be able to do that too.
Yeah.
All right. We got to get out of here, Matt. We'll come back tomorrow. Hopefully only positive news tomorrow as we continue down a week before the college football playoffs. But until then, be kind, be safe, keep your underwear clean. We'll see you right back here tomorrow for more from Open Gym.